Let us pray. Gracious Holy One, in the midst of this world, in the midst of all the situations that happens day in and day out, we thank you that we can rely upon you and acknowledge you as our Jehovah Shalom, the God who gives us peace. We ask for inward peace and outward peace as we share the Word of God with your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm so excited to share this sermon with you. And if you look at your sermon notes, I can help you fill in the blanks. And the title of my sermon is going to be on the screen now, and you're going to have to help me with it. Whose team are you on? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. Whose team are you on? Are you on? Who do you listen to? Who motivates you? Who stimulates you? Who helps you become successful? We have to remember who's in charge of the team. Amen? Likewise, if you look at the Apostle Paul and his writings, the Apostle Paul is speaking from the athletic point of view. Let me give you several chapters that you can go home and peruse at your own leisure. If you look at Romans, the 9th chapter, the Apostle Paul is talking about the Greek-Roman Olympic Games, which occurred during biblical time every 2 years, not like our games, every 4 years. Then look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter. The Apostle Paul talks about a wrestling encounter or even a boxing match. And then he comes to this passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 24 to 27, my favorite. And he's looking at the Christian journey as runners in a race. And he gives us that athletic viewpoint of runners who are running, who are part of God's team. If you look at 1 Corinthians, his whole substance in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you'll see that it is indeed the Apostle Paul who founded the Corinthian church. And he was excited about this church, for they started out with enthusiasm. They were all on the same page. They were very successful, and yet, after having so much success, then they allowed to get distracted. They became distracted and started thinking it was about themselves. They lost focus. They were not seeing what was happening in the huddle being played out on the field. Indeed, this is a huddle as we come together like a football team in a huddle, and they receive the play and they are called to run the play. Where are the quarterbacks? I did see Larry when he was up here. Where are all the quarterbacks? Just raise your hands real quickly. When the coach calls a play, you're supposed to what? Yeah, supposed to run the play. Supposed to run the play unless something, you know, happens. But you don't allow it to happen every time. God is the head coach. He's in charge of our lives and this Christian race. Bless you. God has given us His playbook. 66 love letters to remind us how to live and to live according to His will and to His way. The players don't tell the coach what to do. Amen? Amen. Even for cheerleaders, you don't tell the coach how to run the team. You are part of a team, a holistic group, working together for one common goal. The Apostle Paul decided that he would write not one letter, but get this, two letters to the Corinthian church to keep them focused on the goal and on the prize. Many people assume that 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, we're very familiar with 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, because it's normally read at weddings. But Paul was not writing this passage to be read at a wedding, but it was for the church, for the believers, to remind them of the substance of the whole matter. If you have your Bibles or if you want to Google it or find it on your phone, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, has 13 verses. It is known as the love chapter. It reminds us that faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is what? Love. He was reminding the church to have faith, to continue to have hope, but also to have love. And so here in the 9th chapter, Paul sees the Christian journey as runners in the race, and he's telling them to continue to run to the end. It's not so much how you start, but how you what? Finish. Let me help you fill in the blanks. Faith can be compared, and here it is. Faith can be compared to a long-term athletic event. That's the answer. We go to athletic events and we get there early and we get ready for the band to come out, for the cheerleaders, for the team to come out, and we're all excited. And sometimes we stay there 4 hours and then in overtime. And we're there to support our favorite team. This morning, coming into the worship setting, I wanted to see and observe who has the number one fans, the most fans in the room. Well, let me share with you, during this service, we have more Jaguar fans than Redskins, than West Virginia folks, than Giants. We only have one Giant fan. Miami Dolphins, I see the Bears there. And where's Jane? I see the University of Florida, but where's Jane? Jane, oh, the Buffalo Bills. Oh, yeah, we won't talk about 4 Super Bowls, but anyway. Dallas Cowboys, yes. Yeah. But Jane is right there, and she has on the New England Patriots. And she said to me, I hope you allow me to come into the worship setting wearing this jersey. I say, you can wear this jersey, but we use regulated football according to regulations. Amen. 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 Yeah, yeah. But it's all about being on the team. Let me ask you, were you ever involved in a sporting activity? Ask your neighbor that question. Yeah. Yeah. You did it for the team to come together. That Greek word, koinonia, to have that sense of fellowship, that sense of community, long after the playing days are over. You still can remember your teammates. You can still laugh about certain situations. It reminds you of how you came together as a cohesive group to reach the goal. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. It reminds me of one of my greatest quotes that I remember over and over again from Edward Moses, one of the great Olympians. Graduate of Morehouse College. He said these words. Look at it. I'm running with coach. I'm keeping up. Don't even think about winning if you can't wake up early and stay up late. Don't even think about it if you're not willing to pay your dues, to get up early in the morning and to stay up late. To burn the midnight oil. Not only as it relates to the gridiron, but also as it relates to the classroom. Don't lose this opportunity. In fact, let me share this nugget with you. At the last service, we had both high schools who were here. And FPC, Flagler High School, is grieving now. Because one of the players lost his life this week. Don't take for granted this moment. Cherish this moment. Seize this moment. Because successful people will do what unsuccessful people won't do. Let me say that again. You might want to write it down. Successful people will do what unsuccessful people won't do. Do. There's some people you're going to see, not on Bethune-Cookman University campus, not in this church. You're going to see people who are lazy, who want you to be lazy, who want you to chill out instead of studying, who don't want you to work out and be prepared to play this season, but successful people will do what unsuccessful people won't do. If you want to be successful, in the words of Edwin Moses, you got to what? Rise up, wake up early. That means you got to get out of bed. All right. And then you got to be willing to stay up late. Because you want to be successful, you want to make it. One of the great opportunities that our church have here, and we have numerous of Bible studies, and perhaps you've seen the movie called The War Room. But there's a study from Tony Evans that our church is involved in, and here's one of the quotes from Pastor Tony Evans. The greatest player on any team, whether a corporate, family, ministry, church, or sports team, is the player who makes certain that his, and I can't read that, so I need you to read it. What? That's it. Your contributions should best fit in the goals and strategies of the team. Not in your ego, not in having your name in lights, but what is best fit for the team. In other words, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. How would it look if I tried to play the piano and I haven't even learned how to play a note? How would it look if I was going to say to Linda, who just finished singing, hey, I got it. I can sing. Let there be peace. Some of you laughing already. Yeah, you have to stay in your lane. You have to know your responsibility. You have to stay according to the talents that God has given you and use them for the team. Well, perhaps you've heard the story. It's about what occurred one weekend when they had the big rivalry game. The president of the university went to the head coach. Said, Coach, I have to tell you, your star player won't be able to play for this university anymore. He said, what do you mean? Well, we caught him cheating. What do you mean you caught him cheating? Well, we had an exam. And he sat next to an A student. And the coach said, that doesn't mean he was cheating. Maybe she copied off his paper. He said, no, coach. They had 10 questions. And the star athlete was following the pattern of the answering of the questions. Okay, well, that means the boy woke up early and went to bed late. He burned the midnight oil. He studied. Said, no, coach. We got him on the 10th question. She had all the answers completed. And then we got a question number 10. She wrote, I don't know. And your player wrote, I don't know either. You have to stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. You look at this passage of scripture and see what the Apostle Paul was talking about. The Apostle Paul reminds us, and this passage reminds me because I've been waiting for football season. And we're so blessed with 4 seasons out of the year. You say them with me. Winter, spring, summer, and football. Yeah, yeah. That's my grandson there. He's getting ready to develop and to play, and I hope he becomes a millionaire and don't forget me. Amen. Yeah, yeah. We're here for the football season. But it reminds us, regardless of football, and if you don't like football, we're going to pray for you. But regardless of football, everyone has learned how to run. You look at my grandson there. They've been carrying him for the last 14 weeks. And I see my niece over there. They're carrying her as well. But now they're getting ready. They're starting to walk. And guess what? After walking, you begin to what? To run. Yeah. And I hope he continues to walk well. I hope he does all that type of running around and destroying furniture and destroying items at his parents' house, not my house. Yeah. But in the Christian race, if you look what the Apostle Paul was saying in this passage of Scripture, he was reminding us that each and every one of us should be in the race to win. We should be running for Jesus. That's what we're called to do. We're called to run for Jesus. Nothing is acceptable except running and running hard. How many of you know who that athlete is? Ronnie Ash, a graduate of Bethune-Cookman University. He was in this year's Olympics. He worked hard. Yeah, give him a hand. And the unique thing that I love, and we had another athlete as well, Eric McCray, who was in the Olympics as well. But the unique thing I love to talk about with these athletes here who are in the Olympics this year, Bethune-Cookman University don't even have a track. Don't even have a track. But that tells you, regardless of what you don't have, continue to work and work and work and persevere. Don't complain about what you don't have. Use what you have and use the talent that God has given you. And you can be just like Ronnie on the big stage when all the athletes are there at the Olympics in Rio. Ronnie was there. Use what you have for the glory of God, and God will elevate you in His own time, in His own season. But if you look closely in this passage of Scripture, it reminds us that we're to run. Now, some of you will say, hey, I can't run like I used to. I understand. But we all call to run in the race to make disciples for Jesus Christ. And when the coach blows the whistle and he tells you to run, he's not telling you to what? To walk. Amen? He's not telling you to act like you're jogging and impress the coach. He's telling you to do what? To run. Walking fast is what? Unacceptable. Players, read the next one. And then read the last one. Lagging behind is unacceptable. You've been given the talents to run. You've been given the talents to be used and cultivated. There's going to be a day when you, especially young people, can't run. You ought to see the coach and I trying to run to the sideline. We're trying to run where we won't get ran over. There's going to be a day and time in your life that you can't run anymore. But when it comes to the Christian race and the Christian faith, once you accept Jesus Christ, as Paul would say, it's just like a baby. You're on milk and you continue to read and study God's word until then you get on meat and you become a mature Christian in the faith and you continue to run and to run and to run. Paul is saying, regardless of the obstacles that you have before you, don't be disqualified. All good athletes train hard. Train hard. Put themselves in shape. All good Christians train hard. They're motivated and stimulated to because they're part of God's team and God's family. And they know that there is a reward at the end. In fact, I want you to be able to participate and write down these 3 points, last 3 points as I take my seat. These are the rewards the Lord will give the faithful for serving Him. Number one, you shall receive the crown of life. Life. He wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. He wants us to receive the ultimate prize. Do you see these Olympians? Here, they have all of those gold and silvers there. But don't you know in the medal that they receive, there's only six little trinkets of gold, 6 grams. That's it. But we're now trying to go not for a prize that will be tarnished or vanish away, but one that is for eternal life. It has eternal stamped on it. Point number two. For what is our hope, our joy, or our crown of rejoicing? How many of you know who that athlete is? Oh, look at there, my friends from there. I hear you. These folks are from his home native land. Look at there. Look at there. Yeah. All right. We're going to catch him one day. It might be when he's old, but we're going to catch up with him. That's Bolt, the lightning Bolt. But have you ever noticed him? He's always smiling. Always smiling. Have you ever been around some people who are always angry, look mean and ugly, always complaining and whining about life? It takes 72 muscles to frown, but it takes 14 to smile. Don't overwork yourselves. Always smile. Amen. Last point. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. How many of you remember this during the Olympics? To stop, to help someone else. That's what we're called to do. In fact, it was in the New York Times, on the front cover of the New York Times, they had this picture, and then they took the language from the church. They had as the headliner, Amazing Grace. And this is grace, to be competing and seeing an athlete on the ground and willing to help that athlete up. Just like in the Christian race, we may fall down, but thank God there's some athletes willing. There's some Christians willing to pick us up. And it's because of the cross that I can preach to you this morning. Not by my goodness, but by the goodness of the Lord. Praise be to God for his unspeakable gift and his grace, his amazing grace. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. He offers grace and love and salvation to each and every one of us, and we have the victory.